So that one down in there, that's a 900 megahertz instrument. This is a Brooker. So these are the ones that I like. These are German machines. They're the best hardware, but maybe a little bit less good software. Now you can see the thing's got a massive ladder going up the side. Now the strength of these magnetic fields is like right out there. They've killed a few people simply because people have not appreciated the strength of the magnetic field, and they've had like a gas cylinder or something which they've been wheeling somewhere nearby, and the gas cylinder is accelerated towards the magnet, and the person's between the magnet and the gas cylinder just got completely flattened. Anybody with a pacemaker gets anywhere near these things, it stops them literally dead in their tracks. So these are like a magnet you've never seen before. If you do get things inadvertently stuck in the center of them, it's an extremely hard job to get it out. Now, the one down in Townsville then is just a little baby instrument, 300 megahertz. I worked in a research group in France, and even a group down in Rocky, and they bought their own one of these for the group. So this is like an entry-level machine. This one here, the Melbourne instrument, is the entry point for looking at proteins and stuff like that. But really, to do proteins properly, you're starting to want something around 700 megahertz or bigger is what most people use these days. So this one, they've got one down Brisbane, one of these 900 megahertz machines. So it's costing nearly, maybe, I don't know, 1.5 million, something like that, for the mint machine. But then you have to build a special building to cope with that sort of magnetic field. So it's a big, expensive exercise to study proteins properly. It's a little bit spacey when you put your head like dead center in the bottom. So the actual sample goes in the top, down the center here. This is a schematic of an old electromagnet, which is the one I used to use in honors. And your sample goes into a little glass sample tube then. And then the radio frequency is applied using a set of coils that sit around the sample tube. Now in this case here, there's a largish sort of tube, probably about that big, that goes down the center of that big magnet, and then you drop your sample on a spinner that goes down the center. So there's a pneumatic sampling device that drops it down the center. So the sample then sits in the middle of this magnetic field here and spins quite slowly at about 20 hertz, sitting in the middle of the machine. And then there's a lot of electronic hardware and computers and stuff that drive the whole thing. So the main thing is that people inside the room just have to have no steel or credit cards, wipes out credit cards, watches, you name it, anything that goes near it that, of that character, gets wiped. Now we're going to study either hydrogens or carbons. If we're studying hydrogens, it's got very high sensitivity, so if we put our sample into a solvent that contains hydrogen, we're going to get a massive signal for the solvent, and we will get a tiny signal for the sample. That will mean that the machine spends all of its time collecting the data on the solvent, okay, and effectively we lose information for our sample. So instead we use special solvents, either deuterochloroform or deuterium oxide. So D2O then is a classic heavy water, and this will be used for polar compounds, whereas the CdCl3, which is deuterated chloroform, will be used for a regular sort of non-polar organic compounds. So I can ask you, for instance, in this final exam question, so what would be the solvent that you would choose for running NMR spectra of your sample?